We're going to be in Philippians 2 again. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11, but we're going to focus on the very end of that, verses 9 through 11, because last week we focused on the first part. I shared with you last week that this is a Christmas text, and it really is a Christmas text. But we've got more to say about it this week. Let's review. Before we read, let's review. Verses 1 through 4, just look at them real quick and tell me, based on, you know, we discussed this last week, but what is the main idea in verses 1 through 4?
Be like Jesus.
Okay, and what does that entail in those verses?
Do nothing from selfishness and be a servant.
Okay, yeah. And so it entails selflessness, entails humility, these sorts of things. And he's talking to who? Who's he addressing?
Christians.
Christians. He's addressing the church specifically. Yeah. Okay, and then look at verses 5 through 8. We talked about them last week too. What is the main idea of verses 5 through 8?
The humility of Christ.
Okay, yeah, good. That's a good summary. The humility of Christ. And in what way was he humble?
He became
man. He had every right to be worshipped.
Yes.
And he chose instead to be a servant.
Okay. Yeah. And he became a man. Okay. And it's not just that he became a man. That is true. And that's in those verses. But even
obedient
even unto death, even death on a cross. He went to the cross. Not just that he became a man. Not every man goes to the cross.
Good thing.
Okay. Now, put the two texts together, verses 1 through 4 and 5 through 8, and summarize the whole thing.
Well, be like Christ.
Yeah.
Who emptied himself, became, was God, basically.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's a good summary. You be like Christ. Here's what Christ did, and you be like that. That's the summary of verses 1 through 8. That's basically what Paul's saying. Okay. Let's now read, and we're going to read the whole thing. We'll start in verse 1, read through verse 11, but we're really going to focus on the last part, because last week we talked about verses 1 through 8. But I'm going to read them again for the context. So, starting in verse 1. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, so we reviewed verses 1 through 8. You know, you be like Jesus. Here's what he did. He emptied himself. He was in the form of God. He emptied himself, took on the form of a man. Verse 9. What is the first word in verse 9?
Therefore.
Therefore. Okay, what's that mean for what follows? Therefore is a connecting word. What follows is connected to what came before. That's therefore means that. It's what is the connection?
Because God, because Christ is obedient to his death on the cross, God exalted him.
Okay.
And bestowed him upon.
Okay.
On him the name is above every name. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Glorify him.
Okay.
God.
So what does God do? You were just saying it.
Glorified Christ.
He glorifies Christ. He exalts Christ. Why?
For the glory of God the Father.
Okay, he does it for the glory of God the Father, to the glory of God. So he does it for his own glory. Yes. Why else?
Because of his humility and his obedience.
Okay.
Becoming a man.
That's kind of what therefore implies, isn't it? Because Jesus emptied himself, because Jesus humbled himself, because Jesus took on the form of a man and went to the cross, therefore, God highly exalted him. He humbled himself, and so God exalted him. Okay, what does it mean that Jesus is highly exalted and has a name above every name?
He's now in charge.
He's in charge. Okay.
Hebrews says they put everything under him, submitted everything to him.
Yes. Let me ask this question. So let's talk about, let me ask from Indonesia perspective. So Handi, in Indonesia, who would Indonesians consider to be the greatest person, you know, in Indonesia? Maybe today. Who do you think they, or Leah, you can answer that better. Who would Indonesians consider to be the greatest person in Indonesia today?
The former president, Jokowi.
Hmm. The former president, Jokowi.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then, follow-up question. Who would Indonesians consider to be the greatest Indonesian in history? Not just today, but all time. Hmm. Same guy, or would it be someone different?
The former president, the first president, I think, Sukarno?
Yeah.
Sukarno. Yeah.
Sukarno?
Yeah.
Okay. He's the founder.
I've heard that name. Yeah.
He's the founder?
The first president.
The first president?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, question, we'll move away from Indonesia. Let's come more, you know, America? Or the world? Who would people consider today to be the greatest, maybe most powerful person in the world?
Those are two different questions.
They are. And you can answer them, you can answer it however you want to answer it. And I'm talking about society at large. I'm talking about society at large. I'm not necessarily talking about your own personal opinion.
You mean people in the United States feel that way, or the world?
Either you can answer that however you want.
I would say the most powerful person in the world right now is she.
Xi Jinping. Okay.
Because of the amount of power on the area that he has control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. And the amount of power that his system gives him.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean, yeah.
Okay.
The size of the area and his role in it, yeah.
Okay. Who else might some people say?
Putin.
Putin, okay, Vladimir Putin. Okay, he's got a lot of power within his world, doesn't he?
He has a lot of, he put a lot of pressure on the rest of the world. He has influence on the rest of the world.
Okay.
Yeah. Very powerful.
And of course our president.
Yeah. Okay, Trump. A lot of people would say, whoever the president of the United States is, a lot of people would call him the greatest or most powerful man on the in the world. You know, a lot of people would say that. Okay, why? So we've given lots of names, you know, from Indonesia, you know, Putin and Xi Jinping and Trump and whatnot. Why do people consider these men great? What makes them so great in the eyes of people? They have power. Okay, they have power.
They're in charge of powerful systems.
Okay. They're in charge of powerful systems.
And not afraid to press their power. Step out.
And they use their power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God has different criteria for who's great. And so I'm not disputing that these men have the power that, you know, we say they have. I'm not disputing that so many people would consider them great in their eyes today. But I am saying that's not what God looks at.
No.
That's what people look at, but that's not what God looks at. God highly exalts Jesus and gives him a name that is above every name. Think of the names we just named. This text says Jesus' name is greater than the name of Xi Jinping, than the name of Donald Trump, than the name of Jokowi, than the name of Putin, then name another name that people would say is a great person. You know, and we've all been in politics. You could go outside politics and you could talk about Elon Musk, maybe, you know, or you could talk about, I don't know, Taylor Swift. Or these people have power within their realms. Okay, but there's a name that's above all those names. That's what this text is saying. And it says, what is the result in the text? I'm going back to Philippians 2 now. We're in verses 9 through 11. What is the result of God highly exalting Jesus?
Well, everybody's going to bow their knee.
That's right. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the result. What's it mean, every knee will bow?
Literally, there will be a time when everybody's going to have to acknowledge that he's bigger than they are.
Yes.
Yeah, no one can escape that.
You can't escape it.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's the every part. How about the bow part? What's that talking about?
Well, I have to acknowledge that Jesus is the most powerful.
Okay, he's Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's going to be a place when that time when they come in and he's on that throne.
That's right.
And they're going to have to get on their face. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. It's actually getting at worship. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that. You know, I'm not saying that the demons are going to worship from the heart. I don't believe that. But they're going to bow. And they're going to acknowledge who the rightful king is. that's coming. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So what is the name that is above every name? It's Jesus, but it's that he's Lord. That's the idea. And so people today who reject Jesus, because there are lots of people who reject Jesus. This is saying they're going to acknowledge him. There will be a day when Xi Jinping is going to bow before Jesus. He may not like that. Tough. He's going to do it. And Vladimir Putin may not acknowledge Jesus one bit right now. Too bad. He's going to bow before Jesus. Whether he wants to or not. Whether he likes it or not, it makes no difference. It's going to happen. And that's going to be true of every person that has ever lived. That's going to be true of Muhammad. That's going to be true of all the other religious leaders, you know, Buddha and whoever the Hindu gurus are, and the Dalai Lama and Moses and you and me. Okay, what I want you to do now is I want you to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. And we're going to read a couple of verses from there. Isaiah 45, and we're going to look at verses 22 and 23. Are you there?
45?
Yeah, Isaiah 45.
Which verse?
22 and 23. Okay. Here's what they say. Okay, God is the speaker. God says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. So he's talking to who?
Everyone.
All the ends of the earth. And he's saying, turn to me and be saved. Turn to me is another way of saying repent. For I am God and there is no other. So all these nations who worship these other gods, he's saying, turn to me. I'm your God. There isn't any other. By myself I have sworn. From my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance. And the Septuagint translation of that is, every tongue shall confess. Okay, Paul is actually quoting that in Philippians 2. You can go back to Philippians 2 now. Now in Isaiah, God is speaking. And in Isaiah, the Isaiah text, who is the text talking about? To me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Who's the me? God is talking about himself. This text is referring to God himself. Okay, Paul quotes it. When Paul quotes it, who is the text talking about?
In Philippians 2:10.
In Philippians 2, yes.
Jesus.
It's talking about Jesus.
Jesus,
the glory of God,
the man, the acknowledgement of God being as a man.
Okay, what's this mean for Jesus?
He's greatest. Well, he's part of God.
Yeah, he's God.
He's God. Yeah, Jesus.
That's right.
Is God.
Paul is quoting a text that is referring to God.
Right.
And he's applying it to Jesus. God says, to me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Paul says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Right.
And so Paul is saying Jesus is God here. Okay, I began talking about, I said this text is a Christmas text. Let's return to Christmas for a moment. What does this text say about Christmas?
God showed up among us.
Okay.
Right.
So God showed up among us. In Philippians 2, you should see two almost opposite things. You should see emptying and humility, and you should see exaltation and lordship together. You should see both of those things in these texts. You should see Jesus becoming the lowest of low and the highest of high, all in the same text. At Christmas, that's what we see. At Christmas, where do we see the humbling part? And just think of the Christmas story. Where do you see the humbling part? Born as a baby.
Wasn't born as a king.
Wasn't born as a king.
Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't born in a rich family either.
Yeah.
He was born in a manger, in the straw, amongst the animals. You see that in this. He wasn't born in the big city, Jerusalem. He was born in the country hick town, Bethlehem. Okay, where do you see? Yeah, go ahead.
Nothing good seemed to come from there.
What's that?
Nothing good seemed to come from there, right?
That's Nazareth.
When he was in Nazareth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, might have preferred being with the animals than the people. I hadn't ever thought that. But, you know,
yeah.
He knows our hearts, right?
Yeah. Okay, so at Christmas, you see that part, right? Okay, at Christmas, where do you see the exalted part? Okay, you've got the angels coming and announcing this whole thing. Where else?
To the humble.
What's that?
To the humble.
Yes.
To the shepherds.
That's right. The exalted angels make a big announcement to a bunch of shepherds. Okay, where else do you see the exalted part?
The three kings, some wise men.
Okay, you got three kings, right?
Magi.
Yeah, the Magi come. Yeah. And what do they say? We've heard the King of the Jews is going to be born and we've come to worship him. And then they give him these gifts, right? Okay, you see in the story, in the very Christmas story, you're seeing Jesus emptying himself and humbling himself and taking on the form of a man and becoming nothing, becoming a slave. You're also seeing knees bowing to him. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. You're seeing that very thing in the Christmas story itself. This is Jesus. He's humble and lowly. He's exalted and glorious at the same time. Now, this pattern that you see in Philippians 2, let me ask a broader question. Does it apply to us? The principle, the pattern. Obviously, we're not the name above every name. That does not apply to us.
Well, the humbling part, we should be humbled.
Okay.
We're considered some children of God.
Okay,
so
yes.
Are very, very valuable. But as such, we are to serve everyone.
Yes.
Well, and even
he's telling us it applies to us at the very beginning, right?
Right.
He's saying have the same.
Okay, he is.
And, you know, to love, same love, all those.
Yes. He's telling us to imitate Jesus here, to be like Jesus. Okay, I'm going to give you some scriptures to look up.
Well, I was going to say even the church.
Yeah.
You know, for the church to be humble. You know, this is, you know, completing my joy, participation in the Spirit. So as far as exalting the name of Jesus, but also the church being exalted and then reaching out and being humble.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to give you some scriptures to look up. I've got three scriptures, so I'm going to have somebody read a different scripture. Somebody read for me 1 Peter 5, 6. Just go there. Who wants to do that one?
I can do that.
Okay, Hondi, you got that one. Somebody read James 4, 10.
I'll get that.
Okay. And somebody read Matthew 23, 12.
I can do that.
Okay. So 1 Peter 5, 6. Go ahead. Read it.
Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you.
Okay. Does that sound like Philippians 2? James 4:10.
Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you.
Okay, same thing as 1 Peter 5, 6, right? Okay, Matthew 23, 12.
Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted.
Okay. In other words, this principle we see in Philippians 2 actually does apply to us. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is how God is saying he deals with us. Now, in Philippians 2, we see this is how God is dealing with Jesus. But it applies to us, too, the principle of you humble yourself, God exalts you. So then, okay, how can you humble yourself like Jesus? I mean, that Philippians 2 ultimately is telling us to do that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he describes him emptying himself and humbling himself. But let it be in you. What's that look like for us?
Don't think of yourself as more important than anybody else.
Okay. What might that look like in your life, personally?
To serve without complaining.
Okay, serve without complaining.
Make him as a first priority to, you know, like when we wake up, it's easy to get distracted with all things, but make time
okay
first.
Yeah. Okay.
To be showing Jesus to people a lot more clearly.
Okay.
Do things for others that you don't necessarily want to do.
Okay. This is the kind of life God calls us to. What keeps us from doing that? From living this way? What's that?
Selfishness.
Selfishness, okay. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's not just, I'll just go do it. It's really hard.
Not believing that God will care for us.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes that's true. We want to take matters into our own hands because we think we can do it.
Or just not willing to put yourself out there fear that once you're out there, you're going to be left alone and not protected.
Right.
You know?
I'm too used to thinking of myself all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
It's hard to make that change.
It is hard to make that change. I mean, if I were to describe it for what keeps me from doing this, it's self.
Yeah.
I mean, at the bottom, which gets at the, you know, we're called to die to self. This is a New Testament concept that's presented to us again and again. And dying to self is very difficult. But it's the way of the cross. It's God's way. It's what he calls us to. It's right. It's hard, but it's right. Right and hard are often the same thing. They're not mutually exclusive ideas. Okay, I'm gonna close in prayer, and then we've got a song that we're gonna sing that actually covers this text that we just looked at. And so we're gonna sing Philippians 2 in just a minute. And so, but let me pray. Bless you, Father. I ask for grace to die to me, to live for you, and to live for others. And I don't do that real well. It's why I ask for grace. And I ask on behalf of my brothers and sisters the same thing, that you give to them also the same grace, that they too may die to self, live for you, and live for others, just as Jesus did. Thank you, Jesus, for this season that reminds us of your humility and your love for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.